Hello, my name is Ollery Lane, and I'm reading a selection from Small Victories by Anne Lamott. I stored my mother's ashes in the closet beside those of my pets and her navy blue purse, which the nurses had given me when I checked her into a convalescent home nearly 3 months before she died. I picked up the ashes from time to time and said to them grimly, "Hello, Norat." Then I put them back. My life weighed 20 pounds less after she died. And it was liberating to be so angry after having been such a good and loyal girl. But many months after her death, I still thought of her the same way I do about George W. Bush, with bewilderment that this person could ever be in charge, and dismay and something like hatred. I decided to see if I could find some flecks of light. Friends told me to pray and to go slowly because otherwise my rage was so huge. How would I be able to see fireflies in the flames? I should try to go as safely and as deeply as I could into the mystery of our relationship. I couldn't scatter the ashes. The box was sealed, but good. So I went through her purse. It looked like a doctor's bag. Worn and dusty with two handles, the sort of purse the actor Ruth Buzzi of Laugh In fame might hit you with. I opened it and began pulling out Kleenex like a magician pulls endless scarves from her sleeve. It was very distressing. My mother's Kleenex was distressing to me my entire life. It always smelled like the worst of her. All of her efforts to disguise herself, the makeup, her perfume and lotion and lipstick and powder, all gone rancid. Also, she'd swab you with Kleenex to clean you up with her spit. It was disgusting. In her last years, all she did was fumble for a tissue and, finding it, not remember why she needed it. She almost never cried. Her parents were English, so it wasn't to wipe up her tears. She drowned in those uncried tears. Uncried tears syndrome left my mother hypervigilant, unable to settle down into herself and, to use the psychiatric term, cuckoo. She took the purse with her everywhere. It was a weight, ballast. It tethered her to the earth as her mind floated away. It was also health and preparedness, filled with anything you might need. For instance, there were a lot of Band-Aids. You never know when you'll need one. You only know that in this world, you will. There were pads of Post-its. They gave her confidence that she could keep track of things if only she could remember to write things down and stick them somewhere, and then to remember to look at them. There were house keys which made me feel such grief that I had taken away her freedom. But my mother had had an unbelievable life for someone so sick with Alzheimer's and type 2 diabetes, and no money for as long as we could pull it off. We helped her have her independence and a great view, and her cat and her friends, until the very end. When we put her in the home, her freedom was gone anyway. She only had the freedom when the nurse left at night, fall, when she tried to get up to pee. Freedom to lie in wet sheets. Freedom to get stuck out on the balcony and not remember how to get back inside. There were mirrors in her purse so she could see that she was still there. Am I still there? Peekaboo! There I am. There were dozens of receipts from Safeway, which was right across the street from her retirement community. She was supposed to be on a strict low-carbohydrate diet to help her control her diabetes, but every single receipt was for bread and cookies, which she'd sneak out to buy when she escaped, when the nurses or I was off doing the laundry. Kind of like that in a girl. She also bought dozens of tubes of Crystal Light, that intensely flavored diet drink powder you mix with water. She must have hoped it would fly straight into her brain like Pop Rocks, energize it like tiny Tinkerbells.